present Arthur Lowe, John LeMessurier, and Clive Dunn in Dad's Army. Turkey Dinner, featuring John Lorre, Arnold Ridley, and Ian Lavender, with this week's guests, Bill Pertwee, Frank Williams, Larry Martin, Pearl Hackney, and Harold Bennett. Here is the news, and this is John Snagg reading it. It is September 1942. General Alexander has been appointed Commander-in-Chief Middle East and General Montgomery put in charge of the 8th Army. In the House of Commons, Mr. Churchill has made a stirring speech reviewing the war situation. Down at Warmington-on-Sea, in the headquarters of the local Home Guard unit, Captain Mannering is rehearsing an equally stirring speech for a forthcoming function.
And furthermore, gentlemen, as commanding officer of our local Home Guard unit, I am very conscious of the safety of the good people of Warmington-on-Sea rests in my hands. In short, if Hitler ever attempts to set foot in this part of our green and pleasant land, we will unhesitatingly say, come in.
Men are all lined out and ready for your inspection, sir.
Ah, thank you, Wilson. I'll finish this off later.
Right.
It's my speech for the Rotary Club. I'm the guest speaker, you know.
Are you indeed? How exciting for you.
Oh, not really. I find that speech-making tends to become rather a bore when you've been doing it for a long time.
Oh, I do agree, sir, yes. I remember thinking just that towards the end of last year's annual bank dinner.
How are the men tonight, Wilson? Is morale high?
Actually, sir, they seem to be rather down this evening.
Oh, I shouldn't put that right. I've just finished reading a book called Great Leaders of Men. They all seem to have had one thing in common. Before going into battle, they would tell their men a joke. I thought I'd try that.
But we're not going into battle, are we?
We are in the front line every minute of our lives, Wilson. Follow me.
All right, sir.
Watch, watch, hand! Stand at ease. Now, pay attention, men. As we have a long night ahead of us, I thought I'd lighten the proceedings by cheering you up with a little anecdote.
Hey, Joe, I thought that was what they gave you when you'd been bitten by a snake.
That's an antidote, idiot.
Sorry.
Now, when I finish this little story, you have my permission to laugh in the ranks.
How nice, sir.
Don't anticipate, Godfrey.
Oh, I'm sorry, Captain Mannering.
Now, it appears that there were three British soldiers. A Welshman, an Englishman, and a Scotsman. And they were...
Pardon, Captain Mannering.
Paraphrasing.
I hope this is not going to be another of those stupid jokes about the Celt. As a Scot, I'm sick and tired of being used as a butt for silly sarsenal jokes. After all, us Scots don't make jokes about ball or hearts.
Fraser, will you be quiet? Nothing to do with kilts at all. Where was I, Wilson?
A Welshman, an Englishman, and a Scotsman, sir.
Oh, yes. Now, these three Tommies were sitting in the mess hall, and suddenly the Scotsman said to the Englishman, pass the semolina pudding. The Englishman said, no, I won't. So the Scotsman said, why not? To which the Englishman replied, because King's regulations specifically state never help another soldier to desert. Well, it's all right, you can laugh.
If you'll allow me, sir. All right, men, that's the end of Captain Mannering's joke.
Thought you'd all enjoy that. See, Wilson, that's put them in a good mood.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. Cheered them up no end.
Nothing like a joke.
No, sir, no. Nothing.
Permission to speak, sir.
Yes, Jones.
I hope you don't think that because we didn't laugh very much we was casting aspersions on your joke-telling, sir. It wasn't that at all, sir.
No, no, you told it quite well, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to write it down after parade and send it to Radio Fun. They give you half a crown for a joke like that. Five bob if it's a good one.
He says, just at the moment, we're not much in the mood for merriment and horseplay.
Oh, come, Jones, that's not like an old soldier. Tommy Atkins was always one for a laugh. even when he was up to his neck in mud.
Oh, you're right there, sir. We did a lot of laughing in the mud in the last war. We was doing it nearly all the time, except when we got shot.
Yes, all right, Jones. Now, I want to start...
We're not able to laugh tonight, sir, because of an incident what happened last night, in consequence of which, me and my section would like to go with you into a private place and reveal something.
I see. Well, I'm sure that after parade will be soon enough.
Quite right, sir. I'd like to say here and now that Corporal Jones is making a flagpole out of a matchstick over this affair. And bringing you into it's only going to make things 10 times worse.
Well, whatever it is, we'll sort it out later. Now, as I said,
I don't agree with you, Mr. Fraser. Oh. It's only fair that Captain Mannering should be told. I mean, after all, he's the one that we court-martialed.
Court-martialed? Right, Jones, what's all this about?
Well, sir, it was like this. Last night, when we was on patrol, it was very cold, wasn't it, lad? Anyway, Mr. Mannering, knowing you wouldn't want us to catch a chill, I used my initiative and took the lads to the Horse and Broom and made certain they all had a tot of rum inside them. I'm sure, sir, you'd have done the same if you'd been in my position.
I doubt it, Jones. You know my views on alcohol.
Well, sir, be that as it is, we'd only been back on patrol for 10 minutes when Mr. Godfrey here started shivering.
You see, sir, I'm not very good in the cold. Unfortunately, my sister Sissy hadn't quite finished my new cardigan, because she can't get the orange wool she needs.
Yes, all right, all right. Quite prepared to accept the fact that you were cold.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're very understanding.
Anyway, sir, we took Private Godfrey into the next pub, the King's Head, and by the time he'd downed a couple of port and lemons, he was as bright as ninepence, so we went on our way.
I only had one in there, Mr. Mannering.
I must admit, I had one as well, sir. But just to keep Godfrey company, you understand?
Yes, all right, sir. Go on, Jones.
Well, a few minutes later, just as we were passing the Goat and Compasses, the landlord come out and he said he thought he heard something rumbling down below. So I sent 2 men into the cellar with hand grenades, and the rest of us stood by to give them covering fire.
Whereabouts?
2 in the saloon and the rest in the snug.
I see. Well, while this is all very serious, you did the right thing telling me about it. And so long as you promise never to let it happen again, I'm prepared to overlook it just this once.
Yon corporal hasn't finished yet, sir.
You mean there's more?
I'm afraid so, sir. It got a bit embarrassing.
If it's embarrassing, sir, I'm sure you'd rather not hear it.
Of course I want to hear it. Go on, Jill.
Actually, sir, it was I who got rather embarrassing.
You, Godfrey?
Yes, sir. Afraid so, sir. I started to sing. Rather raucously.
It was a song about a monk.
Glad that it was at least a religious song.
This one wasn't at all religious.
It was about a monk of high renown.
I see.
I didn't know high renown monks were all wicked like that. Yeah.
All right, that's enough.
I must say, Godfrey, I'm flabbergasted to think that you should even know such a song.
I heard it quite a lot in the last war, sir, when I was sitting in the mud.
I hope nobody heard you last night.
Oh, well, that brings us to the next bit, sir.
I see. Let's hear it, Jones.
Well, sir, someone come in and said they could hear something going on in a nearby haystack. And I, in a jocular fashion, said, well, there's lots of things going on in haystacks.
You can say that again. I know a Welsh girl called Bronwyn Evans who spends half her life in a haystack. The fellas call it a welcome in the valley. You know, because she's always...
Yes, all right, we understand.
I don't understand. Why do they call her that?
Oh, Frank, be quiet.
Just be quiet. Go on, Jones.
Well, sir, all jocular thoughts were suddenly wiped from my mind as I realised I was a soldier and it was my duty to investigate.
Well, I'm glad somebody came to their senses at last.
I rallied my men and we went out into the murky night with our bayonets fixed.
I wasn't at all frightened this time, Mr. Mannering. I think rum and whiskey and cider must give you courage, don't you, Mr. Fraser?
Anyway, so we was crossing the field near the haystack when all at once something flutters up. I was very alert by now, sir, and my reflections was very quick. So I raised my rifle and I shot it. It was then we got a bit of a surprise.
Good Lord. Don't tell me you shot Bronwyn Evans.
No, sir, it was an enormous great turkey, which is now plucked in my fridge.
I find this quite unbelievable. To think that men from my platoon would go out on a drunken rampage from pub to pub. Like one of those comic stories that chap on the wireless tells.
Who, Rob Wilton? The day war broke out,
yeah,
my...
Now, look, men, I want you to know that I consider what you've just told me to be very serious. By rights, you should all be on a charge. And as for you, Pike, you're getting much too cheeky. I shall have a word with your mother.
That's not fair. I'm being victimized because of my youth. I mean, why don't you have a word with Mr. Jones's mother?
You leave my mother out of this. My mother's gone to another place.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones.
She's moved to Hastings.
How many people know about this?
Not many, sir. She didn't have a lot of
friends. Not your mother. Only us, sir. I think I'd better discuss this with Sergeant Wilson in my office. Jones, carry on with the parade.
Very good, sir.
Come with me, Wilson. Right, sir. What do you think we ought to do about this turkey? Whatever happens, Jones certainly mustn't be allowed to profit from such a disgraceful drunken affair. He was on duty in one of my uniforms, with one of my rifles, and he used one of my bullets.
Mm. Does that mean you're bagging the turkey?
No. Of course I'm not bagging the turkey. At least not all of it.
In that case, I bags it.
Oh, no, you don't. Anyway, I bagged it first.
You said you didn't want it. Besides, you didn't say the word bag, so it doesn't count.
Now, look here, Wilson. Don't start any of that public school cheating with me. Come in.
Permission to interrupt you, sir.
Yes, Jones, what is it?
Well, sir, me and my men have just been putting our heads together and having a heart-to-heart.
What about?
A turkey, Mr. Mannerine.
That's right, sir. We want to say we're very askance at what we've done, so we've come to a conclusion as to what we should do with our ill-gotten gains.
Really? What's that?
We think the platoon ought to give a turkey dinner to the local old-age pensioners.
Capital idea. Oh, I can see it now. It'll be a night to remember.
Mind you, sir, it'll have to be properly organized.
Oh, I quite agree, Fraser. Wilson, yes? Form a turkey dinner general purposes committee.
Sir?
We'll meet tomorrow night, and I'll be chairman. Look, Wilson,
sir.
It's 8 o'clock. Do you reckon everybody's here? Because I think we ought to make a start.
Just a minute, sir, just a minute. I'll just check my list. Let's see now. There's Jones, Fraser, yes. Walker, Godfrey, Pike, yes, they're all here. I'm here. Mr. Blewett, Mavis.
Mavis?
Yes, you know, Mrs. Pike.
Oh, yes, Mavis.
Now, where's the vicar? Captain Manor, can you see the vicar?
No, what's he doing?
Has he arrived?
Oh, yes, I see. He's over there in the corner, look, behind the harmonium.
Oh, yes. Well, in that case, we're complete.
Good, right. We may as well start then. just a minute. What's Hodges doing here? Surely you didn't arrange for him to be on this committee, did you?
Oh, no, of course I didn't, sir.
We're going to ask him to leave.
Well, I can't really do that, sir. I mean, you see, officially, he had the hall booked this evening for an ARP meeting, and he agreed to let us use it instead.
Oh, I see. I suppose it is rather difficult to throw him out, then. Anyway, let's make a start. Ladies and gentlemen, would you come and take your seats around the table, please? I think we ought to begin.
But Tom and all.
Now, as chairman of this turkey dinner committee, I've been giving the matter some thought, and I've come up with a scheme to speed our deliberations. This consists of a short list of the various elements that have to be brought together to ensure a successful function.
Blimey, trust him to make it long-winded.
Now, to start with, there's the turkey, which Mr. Jones's section has provided.
Yeah, I heard about that. What do they do? Fix bayonets and charge it?
Don't you start. You're a troublemaker, you are.
Ah, oh, don't you talk to me like that, you silly old goat.
Please, gentlemen, just sit down or we'll be here all night.
Well, he started it, didn't
Jones,
he?
Jones, I think the vicar's quite right. Please sit down. Now, when times were different, a turkey dinner would also include the following. Sausages, bacon, vegetables, roast potatoes, bread sauce, and last but not least, gravy. Now,
Giblets. Giblets. We need giblets for the gravy.
Yes, he's quite right. Makes lovely gravy, giblets does. Did you save the giblets?
Of course I saved the giblets.
Let's all give a vote of thanks to Mr. Jones for saving the giblets.
Now, look here, Mr. Rogers, don't you stop.
Joe. Try to ignore him.
My sister Sissy won't boil the giblets. She says the smell makes our Pekingese too excited.
I used to have a cat who was like that with kippers.
Look, this is all very interesting, but do you think we could get on?
Yes, yes, I quite agree. Don't let's get bogged down in giblets at this stage. Now, the first thing to do is to select a volunteer to cook the bird.
For Mr. Speaker.
Yes.
As you're always telling us that Mrs. Manning is such a good cook, I feel the honour should fall to her lot.
Yes, what about that, sir? Could you ask Mrs. Manning if she'd volunteer?
No, I don't think that's a very good idea, really. She's never had the experience of anything so large. You see, there's only ever been the two of us.
Well, there's a week still to go. She could start with a pigeon and work her way up.
My mum could cook it. She can cook anything, can't she, Uncle Arthur?
Well, go on, Arthur. Answer the boy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And, well, of course you can, Frank. Yes.
My friend Mrs. Fox is the finest cook I've ever come across. She's known all over Warmington for her dumplings.
Yes. Well, perhaps we should put it to the vote. Hands up, all in favour of Mrs. Pike cooking the turkey. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now hands up in favour of Mrs. Fox. 1, 2, 3, 4. In that case, I give the casting vote to Mrs. Fox.
Well, that's nice, isn't it, Arthur? You didn't put your hand up for me, did you?
Well, I didn't want you to have all that trouble, Mavis. Oh.
That's a nice way of thanking you, isn't it, Mum, eh? She'd give you her egg for breakfast this morning.
Oh. Well, look, Mavis, please.
Wilson, will you please address your remarks through the chair?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Through the chair, I did not know it was Mrs. Pike's egg.
Could we please get on? My choir is waiting for me.
Yes, all right, Vicar. We're getting along very nicely. So, Mrs. Fox is going to cook the turkey.
She won't make it dry, will she? My pensioners don't like it dry.
I second that. Turkey can be very dry.
Now, we have our turkey. What next?
Stuff it.
I beg your pardon?
Stuff the turkey with parsley and thyme or chestnuts.
Chestnuts are out of season. Any fool knows that.
Well, parsley and thyme it is, then. Perhaps you, Mrs. Pike, would care to undertake that side of the operation?
Oh, of course. If Mr. Wilson thinks I'm good enough...
I'm sure he'll do it beautifully, Mavis.
Good, then that's decided.
What about bread sauce? You need that with turkey, don't you?
Especially if it's dry.
It's not going to be dry. My friend Mrs. Fox knows what she's doing when it comes to cooking turkeys. She makes lovely bread sauce as well.
Is she going to do it all, then?
Now, look. I suggest it would be an excellent idea if Mrs. Blewett were to make the bread sauce.
I don't think we should have too much onion in it. Onions aren't very good for old people.
Oh, makes them excited, does it? Like your Pekingese.
Don't you get clever with Mr. Godfrey. He's a very wise man.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Is old Jones here serving turkey as home guard or eating it as a pensioner?
Right, that's it. I've had about...
Don't you!
And as for you, Hodges, if I have any more trouble from you, I shall have to ask you to leave.
You be careful, mate, or I'll have my all back.
May I remind you, Mr. Hodges, that it's not your all, hall. It was mine. It belongs to the church.
Now, as regards the serving, everyone here will be involved in this, except Mr. Blewett, of course. I shall supervise, but I shall have to leave a little early, as that same night I'm guest speaker at the Rotary dinner.
Uncle Arthur?
Why is it, Frank?
Is that why you sent your tickets back?
Why, Frank? Sorry.
Of course, we cannot serve the meal until we finish cooking it. So you'd better not leap ahead too fast.
Too fast? Blimey, at the rate you're going, you'll only be halfway through talking about it before it's time to bung it in the oven.
Shall we turn our attention to the gravy?
Well, giblet makes lovely gravy.
Oh, you've already said that, you silly old fool.
There's no need to be offensive to Mr. Blewett just because he's getting a bit past it.
I'm not getting past it. Ask my wife.
Look, can we stick to the gravy?
Mr. Mannery, my girlfriend Shirley, she makes smashing gravy. She burns everything else to a cinder, but she's a dab hand with gravy.
Look, I really think we ought to get on.
Oh, dear. The choir will definitely have gone off the boil by now.
We are getting on, Wilson. Now, the next thing we have to consider are the vegetables. Now, as I see it, the vegetables could present a rather larger problem. Not only because of their availability, but also their preparation. Here you are, Walker. Put a roast potato on this one.
Got you all, Mr. Mannery?
Yeah. Oh, don't throw it on the plate like that. Anything splashes up, it might get on my tails.
The way you've covered yourself up with that apron, sir, I shouldn't think there's much chance of that.
Be that as it may, there's still no point in taking any chances. As guest speaker of the Rotary Club dinner, it's essential that I should look as smart as possible.
Hey, Napoleon, I want two more, one without the sprouts.
Right, there you are.
Right, about time and all.
Watch what you're doing, Wilson. I'm sure you're putting too much turkey on those plates. There won't be enough to go around.
Well, according to my calculations, there are only four more to serve.
Captain Madrig, I really must protest.
Why, Vicar? What's the matter?
Well, this whole affair is not at all well organized. All the old people started to eat as soon as their plates arrived.
Well, of course they did, otherwise it would have gone cold.
Well, it's not right. Before I had a chance to say for what we are about to receive, half of them had already received it. Well, it's too bad, it really is.
Fraser, here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Put some gravy on this one.
You know, sir, in my opinion, this gravy is far too thick.
What are you talking about, Jock? My Shirley's been up all night with that gravy.
Can't help that, son. I still say it's too thick.
Take these two plates in, Godfrey.
Yes, all right, Mr. Bentley. I still think there's far too much onion in the bread sauce.
Mr. Mannering.
Yes, what is it, Jim?
Permission to inform you, sir, I've had a complaint.
Well, as long as it's cleared up now, Jonesy, I wouldn't worry.
Be quiet, Walter.
Mr. Blewett, sir, he's the one that's complaining.
Why, what's the matter with it?
He says he's left his teeth at home, so can you put it through the mincer for him?
We don't have a mincer. Cut it up into small pieces.
All right, so I'll do that.
Mr. Mannering.
Hi.
One or two of the pensioners are asking what's happened to the parson's nose.
It looked all right when he came in here just now.
Right, Walker, I warned you. Put that last potato on this plate and then go into the hall and help with the clearing up.
All right, Mr. Mannering, there you are. I might as well take this last portion in with me.
I'll come with you, Joe. You never know, some fool might like some more of this half a gravy.
And Mr. Mannering, what about the parson's nose? I mean, what should I tell the ones who are asking?
Go on. Oh, just say we have the parson's nose in hand.
I must say that conjures up a pretty sight.
Now, don't you start. Right, off you go, Pack.
All right, Mr. Mannering.
I shall have to leave in a minute to go to the Rotary Club dinner.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. By the way, don't forget you've still got your apron on. I mean, it's the Rotary Club you're going to, not a Masonic meeting.
Nearly forgot. That's better.
Ah, my goodness me. Yes, your tail certainly suits you, sir. You really look smart.
Well, I am the guest speaker, you know. Anyway, I don't think we should lower our standards just because of the war on.
Oh, no, of course not, sir.
Come on, let's go in and see how the pensioners are.
All right, sir. Right.
Ah, Mr. Blewett. Everything all right now?
No, it isn't. Mr. Povey over there's got all white meat and I haven't got any. What's more, he's got a bigger lump of stuffing.
You can see him put that to right, Mr. Blewett. Excuse me, Mr. Povey.
What?
I'm just going to take some of this white meat and bit of your stuffing. There you are, Mr. Blewett.
Here, I'm not going to eat that. It's been on his plate.
Mr. Mannering, Mrs. Williams says, have we got anything else because she doesn't eat turkey?
Well, she doesn't eat turkey. Why on earth did she come to a turkey dinner?
That's what I told her.
Has she got any white meat, Mavis?
Oh, expect so, Arthur. Why?
Well, we need some for Mr. Blewett.
Oh, I see. Well, look, I'll just go and have a look.
All right. Mr. Blewett?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, I'm sorry you didn't get any white meat, but we're hoping to give you Mrs. Williams.
Well, if it's all the same to you, I think I'd rather have some turkey.
Oh, very droll, yes. Come on, Wilson, let's get away from this table.
Very good idea, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Mannering. Mr. Mannering, I've got Mr. McCulley's plate here. He says, are there any seconds?
No, Pike. Tell him that there isn't any more. And be careful what you're doing with that plate. There's gravy all along the edge.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Mannering.
Here, young Pike, pass me the salt from that table behind you.
Okay, Mr. Rogers. Excuse me, Mr. Mannering.
Look out, Pike. The moment you're doing it... Oh, whoops! Look what you've done. You pressed the edge of that plate right up against my dress shirt, and now there's a line of gravy on it. Stupid boy.
What's stupid? Well, put the gravy on the edge of the plate was the one that was stupid.
What am I going to do now? I haven't got time to go home and change. Anyway, this is the only dress shirt I have.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Mannering. If we kept on pushing the edge of the plate against the front of your shirt, perhaps we could make it look like a striped one.
Not a joking matter, Walker. I'm the guest speaker of the Rotary Club dinner, and I have to be there in 15 minutes.
Now, look, sir, why don't we go into the office? There's some blotting paper there. That'll probably take it off.
All right, I suppose it's worth trying.
I'm very sorry you've got gravy on your dicky, Mr. Mannering, but I'm not stupid.
This is not a dicky, Pike.
Well, anyway, I'm still not stupid.
If I say you're stupid, You're stupid. I've closed the door. We don't want all the pensioners watching us.
Right. Now, here's the rotting paper, sir. I'll just mop it up.
Be very careful, Wilson. Don't spread it.
It's all right, sir. All right, all right. There we are. There, there. That's much better. I'm sure no one will notice that.
Excuse me, sir. Oh, dear, Mr. Manning, you've got a gravy stain on your dicky.
It is not a dicky, Jones.
Oh, sorry, sir, sorry. Wait a minute. I've got an idea. There's a small tin of white enamel on the shelf over there. A little dab will cover that mark so it don't obtrude.
Hey, what's this, then? A meeting in the Mother's Union?
What do you want, Hodges?
Well, when you can spare the time, I want this jug filled with gravy.
Here we are, sir. There we are. There's the paint. And I've got a little brush as well. I shouldn't take a second to do a little touch-up job.
Hang on a minute. What about the gravy I want?
Well, just leave the jug. One of us will bring it out to you in a moment.
Oh, all right. Well, don't be too long. Here, I'll tell you what, Napoleon. Why don't you bring it out? Dressed like that, you look just like a waiter.
Damn cheek.
Commissioner speak, sir.
Yes, Jones.
I'm standing by to touch you up whenever you're ready, sir.
All right.
Over here. Sir, very good, sir.
And please be very careful.
Yeah, right, sir, right, sir. I'm being very careful there. It's almost gone. Just a little bit more and middle there. That's right, and you'll be as right as rain.
Excuse me, please, Mr. Jones.
Look out, sir. Look out. Oh, Paddy, don't. Oh, Paddy, look out.
Oh. Now look what you made Jones do. White paint all down my lapel.
Sorry, Mr. Manreen.
Who could say I'm sorry? How can I possibly get to my feet as guest speaker with white paint all over my dress suit?
Anyone got any black paint?
Well, I've got a suit of tails at home, sir. You're welcome to borrow that.
Oh, that wouldn't be any good, Uncle Arthur. It wouldn't fit anyone as round as Mr. Manry.
That's enough, Pike. None of this would have happened if it hadn't been for your carelessness. Just get out.
Yes, Mr. Manry.
I think I have the answer, sir. Why don't you pretend you hurt your arm and make a sling with your scarf?
A good idea, sir. Your arm would cross the lapel and cover the mark up a tree.
No, I don't think
it's worth trying, sir, isn't it? Look, I'll just tie the ends of your scarf together and we'll see what it looks like.
Oh, very well.
Blimey, how much longer are you going to be with that gravy? This is supposed to be tonight's turkey dinner, not tomorrow's breakfast.
I know, I'm sorry. You'd better come in and get it yourself.
Thanks. I should have done that in the first place.
There you are, Captain Manreen. That's got your arm in a lovely little sling, and it completely covers the white mark. Now, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you look very brave during your speech-making.
I really don't think it looks very...
No, I think Jones is right, you know, sir. And if you wince a bit now and then, you'll get twice the applause at the end.
Yes. Well, it does seem to do the trick, doesn't it?
Ah, it does that, sir. No one will ever know.
Well, I'm very angry that all this has happened, of course, but nevertheless, Wilson, I think it's typical of our lads to show such ingenuity and resourcefulness.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Right, put my overcoat round my shoulders, will you?
Yeah, all right, sir. There you are. And there's your bowler.
Thank you, Wilson. I'd better be off.
Good luck, sir, and don't worry, you'll find.
Thank you, Fraser.
Look, when you lot are finished, can I get past to the... door?
All right, be very careful what you're doing with that jug of gravy.
Hey, Mr. Rogers, hurry up. They're still waiting for the gravy.
Whoa!
Oh, dear.
What are you, Pike?
Stupid boy.
In that episode of Dad's Army, based on the original television series by Jimmy Perry and David Croft, you heard Arthur Lowe as Captain Mannering, John LeMessurier as Sergeant Wilson, Clive Dunn, Corporal Jones, John Lorry, Private Fraser, Arnold Ridley, Private Godfrey, Ian Lavender, Private Pike, Bill Pertwee, Chief Warden Hodges, Frank Williams, the Vicar, Larry Martin, Private Walker, Pearl Hackney, Mrs. Pike, and Harold Bennett as Mr. Blewett. Turkey Dinner was adapted for radio by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles and produced by John Dias.
Arthur Lowe, John LeMessurier, and other members of Dad's Army are now appearing at the Theatre Royal, Brighton.